The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
And a very good morning to you this Monday morning, the 16th of October 2023. It's fast approaching 6 minutes past nine, and you're very welcome along to the show. And hopefully, we have your company here for the next 3 hours in the programme and throughout the day on Highland Radio. And it's always a busy one today, particularly with a focus on health, following on from our story with GPs last week. 78 of them signed a letter saying, look, the ED is in such a state, we need an external review. Well, over the weekend, 11 consultants at Letterkenny University Hospital have written to the Health Minister backing the GPs and expressing their serious concerns over the operation of the ED and its impact on patient outcomes. They say we could be looking at a service collapse. Some remarkable statistics, which I'll go through as before we head into the newspapers, just to set up some of what we're going to be talking about today. ED waiting times, by the way, they are the most vital and visible, the most visible sign of a hospital that is in distress. And in Letterkenny University Hospital, they have deteriorated dramatically in the last 3 years. 52% of patients are seen in Letterkenny's ED within 6 hours of presentation, so just over half. The target is 95%. And just to give you some context, in 2020, 80% of patients who attended Letterkenny ED were saw within 6 hours. A third of patients, or not far off a third, 27% of patients currently experience a waiting time in excess of 9 hours. That compares to just 6% 3 years ago. So that's a dramatic increase in long waiting times. Letterkenny University Hospital is the sixth busiest hospital in the country. Now, to put that into context, that's behind level four hospitals, you know, in Dublin and the big urban areas. So it's the sixth busiest hospital in the country, but it's at the bottom in terms of funding per patient. And just to give you an idea and a kind of a like-by-like comparison, the annual funding for patient per patient for Letterkenny University Hospital is 6,922. Our nearest neighbour, Sligo, it's 11,000, right? So that's not far off double. And it seems in the mid-teens for, you know, certain sized hospitals. But Letterkenny, the sixth busiest in the country, but it is at the bottom of the table in terms of funding per patient. The 11 consultants, and we'll speak to one of them a little later on in the programme. Obviously, they're very busy, so that's going to be later on in the show. They're calling for an external review team to inquire into operations of at the hospital, but they want it to go beyond the ED. Sustainability of medical and surgical services, they want that looked at. Radiology services, facilities and staffing levels in the ED, hospital acute bed capacity, access to community hospital beds for step down, and on it goes. They say that the hospital is currently in a crisis and is rapidly approaching a tipping point, warning failed recruitment of medical and surgical specialists will lead to a failure of on-call rosters. Such a scenario, they say, would inevitably lead to service curtailment and raise the possibility of service collapse. As I say, we're going to be talking about that a little later on. The consultants say they've raised this issue with the hospital management. They've raised these issues with Sealta. They've raised these issues with multiple health ministers, including the current health minister, with no success. And they are backing the 78 GPs in Donegal, saying that the ED effectively is not fit for purpose in terms of ensuring as many possible positive outcomes for patients as there is. We're going to be speaking to one of those GPs a little earlier in the show. We're going to speak to a consultant later in the show. We're going to speak to people about their experiences in the ED. Yes, it's health heavy, but this is critical. We're at a tipping point. We've seen with the CDNT, we no longer can accept that those services are not there to be provided. People stood up, people got together, and now there are some inroads being made in relation to that. The hospital situation is the same. People have had enough. The professionals have had enough. They're threatening the GPs to lead people out into the streets if something is not done. These calls cannot be ignored. We've got 11 senior consultants in the hospital and 78 GPs across the county, all saying they have serious concerns about the operation of the ED at Letterkenny University Hospital. So stick with us. We're going to be talking about that extensively because it is important. And if you don't think it's important to you now, God forbid if you were to get sick, it would be very important to you then, or if you have someone in your family who was sick. But I think we're at an enough is enough point in terms of the reaction from the medical professionals. We'll have coverage of that, of course, throughout the morning. Stay with us on that. Vulnerable service users across the county are facing major disruptions as workers in community and voluntary sector organisations are preparing to take indefinite strike action from tomorrow. This is the Donegal News. The industrial action was announced last month and will involve close to 5,000 workers from organisations funded by the Health Service Executive and other state agencies, bringing many vital services to a halt. The Derry News this morning reports on a war of words over contentious Creggan planning application. A war of words has erupted between a residents association and a Derry councillor regarding a proposed housing development in the city. Responding to a recent Derry News interview with independent councillor Gary Donnelly, Hyde Park Residents Association described his remarks as unfounded and malicious allegations. And if you're interested in that story, more on the front of and inside that paper today. There is quite a focus on health in some of the nationals today. As you would know, Stephen Donnelly didn't get the funding he says is required to run the health service effectively, which means at least 4,000 seriously ill patients may be unable to access potentially life-saving medicines next year due to the government's decision not to provide funding for new drugs in last week's budget. This is the Times, by the way. They include about 1,000 cancer patients hoping to access 23 new medicines going through a funding approval program and 3,300 patients with other conditions that could be treated by 11 new medicines in the pipeline, according to industry estimates. And I mean, when you put that in, you know, take it off the headlines and speak it and think about it. You know, that those are 1,000 humans, 1,000 people with many, many more people associated with them, already stressed and worried going through cancer. And now they're learning that they may not have access to medicines which could make them better, could prolong their lives, could improve their outcomes. It's really remarkable when, you know, you break it down to that. Well, the Irish Daily Mail says that Health Minister Stephen Donnelly is accused of losing control of his department amid suggestions of a no-confidence vote, as HSE Chief Bernard Gloucester says the state has massively underfunded the sector. Senior government figures fear the war between Mr Donnelly and Public Expenditure Minister Pascal Donoghue will accelerate into a major political bushfire. Speculation of no-confidence vote comes as Mr Gloucester slammed Budget 2024, claiming $22.5 billion will not be enough to run the health service. Are any of you out there interested in a no-confidence motion, all the crap that goes along with that in the days in advance? If it's called by an opposition and takes place in the Dáil, do you know all the nonsense that's said in advance then? You know, greasing the palms of the independents to win their support so it passes. Are any of you interested in that? Or would you just like to see them put their heads together and get it sorted? You know, it's too big an issue, I think, to be playing politics with. You know, who cares if there's a confidence vote or no confidence vote? It'll pass anyway. It'll take up too much time and probably cost us a fortune, as I say, in terms of government making sure they have the support to pass it. On to the Middle East crisis. This is the Irish Independent. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday vowed to demolish Hamas as his troops prepared to move into the Gaza Strip in pursuit of militants whose deadly rampage through Israel border town shocked the world. Israel has urged exhausted Gazans to evacuate to the south with hundreds of thousands. They've already done that in the besieged enclave, which is home to more than 2 million people. Hamas, which runs Gaza, has told people to ignore Israel's message. Inside Gaza's narrow and crowded streets, conditions were deteriorating as deaths from Israeli strikes rose. Bodies were stored in ice cream freezer trucks because moving them to hospitals was too risky and cemeteries were full. And Hezbollah, they're on another part of the Israeli border, and they're ready to get involved if they don't like what's going on. It's getting messy over there politically. It's beyond that in terms of the actual reality of death and destruction. The Irish Daily Star: murder accused Richard Satchwell's isolated and under special observation on a prison landing. The Star has learned that Satchwell, who's on remand in Limerick Prison, is isolated and is being regularly checked by staff every 15 minutes. The 57-year-old was remanded into custody after being charged before a special sitting of Cashel District Court on Saturday. It's understood he's being kept on Limerick Prison's E-landing, a small corridor home only to two other prisoners. His solicitor, Eddie Burt, recommended his clients receive medical attention while in prison. And that's a gentleman who you would have seen regularly appearing on radio and TV, appealing for information about his late wife. It's a It's going to be the subject of a Netflix show, you can be sure of that. The Sun this morning, Sinn Féin has slightly increased its support as the most popular party in the country, but Micheál Martin has overtaken Mary Lou McDonald as the most popular leader. The Fianna Fáil chief leaped ahead of Sinn Féin president in a new poll. The tarnished have bagged a satisfaction rating of 47% against McDonald's 46%. It breaks a winning streak for the Dubliner, who dropped from 49% approval in September. Okay, there you go. I'm sure Micheál Martin will be pleased with that. And finally this morning, elderly priests are coming under unprecedented pressure to abandon their retirement plans due to the worsening vocations crisis and declining clergy numbers. The Irish Mirror tells us that the official retirement age for a Catholic priest in most dioceses across Ireland is 75. However, at least 300, equating to 15% of the 2,100 clergymen working in the Irish Church, are in their mid-70s or over. And with fewer priests than ever hanging up their clerical collars once they reach retirement age, those numbers are only going to increase, according to the Association of Catholic Priests. And we heard last week too the reality that more funerals are going to have to be done by the laity because there simply won't be the priests available to do all of the work. All right, okay. We are going to be joined by Dr. Kieran O'Farrell to discuss what progress, if any, has come from the letter issued last week by GPs, and also his reaction to consultants at Letterkenny University Hospital now coming out expressing their concerns of, well, even the potential of services collapse at the hospital. As I mentioned in the preamble there, 78 GPs wrote a letter. They came together, unprecedented, expressing their concerns about the ED, calling for a number of additional measures because there were concerns of the outcomes for their patients. That's if they would go to the ED if they were sent. Now, of course, we'd always encourage people to do so, but we can understand concerns. Now, of course, the medical professionals all work in the one area. But what we then got yesterday from 11 consultants within the hospital really is a further insight into their concerns and the conditions there. One of the 78 GPs that signed that letter was Dr. Kieran O'Farrell. He joins us on the programme now. Kieran, and there's something happening here, isn't there? It was a very important intervention, I think, from you and your GP colleagues. The 11 consultants throwing their weight behind your calls and then giving us a further insight into the conditions at the hospital. Really, it's been an eye-opener, and I think it's a really important intervention.
I would agree, Greg, and as you said, I think it's very important, and it shows a lot of the strength of feeling that's out there, that our hospital consultants, who obviously don't find it easy to speak up about the service within their own hospital, have taken this unprecedented move. And again, I think it shows that we are starting a bit of a movement here. We're gathering a broad consensus of doctors, stakeholders and people, and I think we really are starting to highlight the difficulties that we have here in Donegal, and the inequity that we have here in Donegal, and the significant risk that the doctors of Donegal are now highlighting for the patients of this county.
And the consultants pointed out the reality of the funding crisis, really. Letterkenny University Hospital, the sixth busiest hospital, just under €7,000 per patient, but in 14th in terms of funding, which is well down the table. Our neighbour Sligo, €11,000 per patient. You know, now that sort of talks beyond the ED, which the consultants did in their letter, but it really lays it bare, the reality of the underfunding of this really, really important acute hospital.
Yes, and we know Donegal is different. You know, we hear that a lot, but it is, in terms of healthcare, completely different to anywhere else in the country. Letterkenny University Hospital is a large Model 3 hospital, and as you said, it's one of the busiest in terms of emergency care in the country, but the level of funding that's been received in Letterkenny just doesn't match the service needs that are there. And so the people of the Northwest here are being discriminated against and aren't getting the funding that we need to provide safe and effective care for patients in this part of the country.
All right, Doctor, stay with me because Padraig McLaughlin is Sinn Féin TD, of course, in Donegal, and I know I only have a brief moment with you. And we've heard your remarks as it relates to the CDNT situation, a very important meeting upcoming. But I might just get a brief response from a political perspective, if you don't mind, as it relates to the letters from the GPs and now the consultants, Padraig. This is an awful lot of people in very high positions saying some very serious things.
Absolutely, Greg, and it's extremely welcome, the intervention by the GPs. I was speaking to some of them. We have asked the Minister by a parliamentary question, will he urgently come up to Donegal, engage with the GPs, examine their request. I believe he needs to implement it urgently for an external review. But the intervention now of consultants is extremely worrying. And you see yourself, Greg, you've highlighted over the weekend, they say that we consider that this hospital is in crisis and rapidly approaching a tipping point beyond which failed recruitment of medical and surgical specialists will lead to a failure of on-call rosters. Such a scenario would inevitably lead to service curtailment and raise the possibility of service collapse. It couldn't be more serious. Greg, I was working over the weekend on the comparison data where we look at all the hospitals across the state, the amount of money that they get and the number of inpatients. And as you say, Letterkenny is the sixth largest hospital in the state, almost 26,000 inpatients. This is a major hospital. It has more inpatients than five Model 4s. So Model 4 is a higher model than Letterkenny, a more urgent model, but Letterkenny has more patients than all of those, so it's underfunded. But then when you look at the level of underfunding, it's absolutely shocking. And Greg, I've been doing these tables for years now. I've been speaking out about this. I delivered newsletters to thousands and thousands of houses across Donegal, you know, presenting the evidence. But I was absolutely shocked over the weekend to see it's just got worse and a lot worse than what it's always been. Like, we need this intervention desperately from the GPs and from the consultants, but politically now we need to get in behind them. The people of Donegal, the TDs, the councillors, need to get in behind the GPs and the consultants and stand up and fight for justice and fairness for our hospital once and for all.
All right, listen, thanks very much for your time this morning, Sinn Féin Deputy Pádraig McLoughlin. We've also made... we've extended invitations to the Health Minister, Stephen Donnelly, and Local Minister, Charlie McConnell-Ogue, but nothing back from them as of yet. And you were suggesting there, or saying, Dr. Kieran O'Farrell, the consultants have gone far beyond, haven't they, really? They've come up with another 11 recommendations, which sort of gives us quite an insight into their concerns about the general running of that hospital.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we've expressed our concerns about the emergency department because that is the service that people see and it's what's kind of critical in time of need. But the emergency department functions as part of the broader hospital system, and all these things that the consultants have highlighted feed into that, such as radiology services, on-call rotas, the amount of hospital beds, access to services like urology, cardiology, endocrinology, you know, all that is part of how the hospital functions, and no one department can work independently of the other. Same as, you know, as GPs, we require the hospital for our health system to work, and the hospital requires GPs so that the hospital can function. So we're all interrelated, and you can't just pick out the emergency department as the only problem, and the consultants have done that very eloquently in their letter. They've also significantly highlighted the waiting times in the emergency department, and I think those figures are really stark. You know, there's a national recommendation that 95% of patients should be seen in less than 6 hours. We see in Letterkenny that 27% of our patients in 2023 are waiting more than 9 hours, and that's more than a 400% increase in the last 3 years, which is quite shocking. Mm. And it does show that the reason we as GPs and the hospital consultants have spoken up now is that we are seeing significant deterioration in those issues in the hospital.
Yeah, and a rapid deterioration at that. And that counts the people that stay there, because we also have an incredible high amount of people that turn up at the ED and they give up, they leave before they're actually treated. The consultants say they've raised these issues previously with hospital management, with Sealta, with numerous consecutive health ministers. What does this say about the running of the hospital, in your view? Is it a local issue? Is it a regional issue? Is it a national issue? What needs to change there, do you believe?
I think it's a local issue, it's a regional issue, and it's a national issue. Everything is part of that. Obviously, funding becomes a national issue, and we need our politicians in the county now to stand up and fight for Donegal. But, you know, we've come together as a group of clinicians here. We're not politicians. We're not trying to be politicians. We're trying to come together and advocate for our patients. That's a big part of our role. And we see that they're not getting the service that they should get here in Donegal. So, you know, we'll talk to local management. We'll talk to national leadership. We want anybody who has any ability to improve the situation here in Donegal to come together and to try and make a difference.
Where does this go from here? Because it seems that Donegal is the easiest part of the country to ignore. And I don't mean that politically either, but I can only judge it by the reaction to the letter that you guys issued. And also, I know the consultants' concerns were shared with local media outlets as well. I don't see much coverage of it, if you know what I mean. So hopefully some local politicians will raise this issue. But if this was Dublin, if this was Galway, if this was Cork or somewhere else, this probably would be second, third, if not front page news. It seems, unfortunately, here in Donegal, we're easy to ignore. So what do we do next if this sort of momentum, this push doesn't deliver results? Is it taking to the streets?
Well, you heard Pádraig McGuinness on your programme last week saying we're not going to let this go and we aren't going to let this go. And I think we are gathering momentum now. We're very grateful for you to continue to highlight the issues here. We think it's very important that we do that. You know, we think for far too long this has been quiet and things have deteriorated and we're going to continue now. And we need the public support on this. You know, we need people to come together. Anybody that has any influence needs to stand up and say enough is enough now. We're not going to let this go. We're going to continue to fight until we see improvements in services here in Donegal. And it's not going to be easy. You know, I've seen these questions being asked of the minister before of Donegal, and the answers that can come back, obviously very technical answers about Model 3 and Model 4 and the care that's provided in different hospitals. But we as clinicians know that our patients here in Donegal are not getting the service that they need. And that is why we're speaking up.
Yeah. And the easiest thing, again, in the world to do is to try and make it all complicated and stuff, if you know what I mean. But this is basic stuff. We need the resources and the people and the equipment to make sick people better. That's
absolutely. And, you know, the bottom line is the stories that we hear day in, day out. And everybody in this county is hearing them on a regular basis, you know, of people waiting excessive lengths of time. And we know as clinicians, and the evidence is clearly there, that excessive waiting times also results in poorer outcomes. So we know that our patients here in Donegal are suffering because they're not getting the care that they need.
OK, listen, thank you for your time. I know you're all very, very busy, and we'll be speaking to a consultant a little later on the show as well. But for now, GP Kieran O'Farrey, thank you so much for your time. As you can see, GPs are resolute in their views that were issued in that letter last week. And as I say, we'll be talking to a consultant a little later on to get an insight from within as to what's going on there. Greg, with the way that the budget went for health last Tuesday and the minister and the CEO of HSE saying it won't go far enough for his health service, if this recruitment ban comes in, what hope do we have to get additional staff here in Letterkenny? I know myself, I had to wait March 2022 in ED from 9:15 a.m. until 3:30 the next morning before I got to bed. That sounds like good now, if that makes sense. I know that's like a crazy thing to say, but it sounds like you did okay. I know you didn't. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That's a disgrace. But yeah, the recruitment embargo is incredibly, incredibly significant. And that will feed into the conversation over the course of this morning. It's not all money. Very poor management in the ED. Well, you heard from the GP there. It's a local, regional and national issue, according to him. I think the HSE should hire in a private company to run the hospital, make things run more efficiently. LUHED has been in crisis for years. The GPs refer everything to the ED. They see only the simple things that they can get, the 50 or 60 euro for, and write a letter for everything else. It is time to make GPs work for the health service and not their pockets. Regarding the ED consultants, they do not care about the people of Donegal. The staff are burnt out, disrespected and vilified. It's time for an external review. Well, that's what the GPs themselves are calling for. GPs refer about 5% of their patients. GPs only refer their patients if they believe they're very sick. Now, we did hear opposing views last week that maybe some care could be provided from GPs or by GPs rather than being sent to junior doctors with less qualifications or less experience than them. But there's this notion sometimes, I think, that this notion sometimes, I think, that it's people are waiting 36 hours to be told, you're grand, head on. It's not. It's to get access to the hospital. When we talk about trolley waiting lists, those are people who need to get into a trolley. Need to get into a bed. So that's what those are. They're not people that are just sitting around and there might be nothing wrong with them. They've been deemed ill enough to have to access the hospital. Okay, we're going to get another resident of Donegal, another listener's insight into the situation there after these. Okay, so as it relates to the situation at Letterkenny University Hospital, we've heard from GPs, we're hearing from consultants, and we're hearing from you, the people who go in there to attend us. Magella is amongst us. Magella, good morning. Thank you very much for joining us today.
No bother, Greg. Good morning to you too.
Right, so you were in the emergency department recently. Just before we get into your story, Magella, were you familiar with how overstretched staff were? Had you been in there recently, or was this sort of you seeing for the first time firsthand what's going on?
No, a bit worse, and been talking to people that has been in,
yeah,
and they're all saying the same.
Right, so you were in there with your daughter. Tell us your experience.
Yeah. She went in at 9 on a Friday night, and I went in shortly after 10. She didn't get seen an ED doctor to a 2:15 the following day.
In the afternoon?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
And she didn't get a bed till that evening then. She was admitted. But it was a bed, but it wasn't in a ward. Mm. It was in a hallway with a curtain thing across from it. There were no beds. But she was glad to get the bed.
Yeah. So she was 17 hours, if my maths are correct, waiting for an ED doctor.
Yeah.
And then a further number. Now, obviously, she wasn't there because she didn't need to be there. She was there because she had to be there. The doctor says, right, we need to admit you. And after that, then she had a further number of hours to wait before she got a bed that wasn't actually a bed as such. What did you see in terms of, you know, what staff are having to go through, the nurses and doctors, etc.? What was your observations?
People sitting on chairs, old people, for how many hours, like ourselves, the ED outside, casualty.
All right, I think I've lost the line. Magella, are you there?
Someone's left.
Sorry, Magella, I dropped the line there. You were telling us outside, the line dropped, it's our problem, I'll sort that out. But you were saying what you saw, people on chairs, take it from there.
They were on chairs sitting inside the casualty doors. All the beds were full, the cubicles. Bringing more people in outside, sitting in the sitting area. Every chair was packed. They were sitting on floors. That's just a constant thing now.
It must be really difficult for the staff to work in that environment, Magella.
I honestly don't know how they do it.
Mm.
The nurses and the doctors are rushed off their feet. I really don't know. Something needs to be done now before it gets worse for these winter months coming in.
Yeah, and you're calling on the government and management to act.
Oh, they have to act, because it's definitely not right. The health system is definitely nowhere near where it should be.
Okay, Magella, I hope everyone's okay now. Thanks for helping us to understand. I appreciate it. Mary, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm good. What was your experience, Mary?
I was sent to from the GP office in the morning. So I was in casualty at about 10 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really sick. Like, I was really sore at appendicitis. And I could barely stand. So the triage nurse, she put me on a wheelchair and she brought me in behind. But I was in there for 3 hours. And my husband was in the waiting area, waiting to hear back about me. And he had heard somebody call my name.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't even know where I was.
Wow.
And I was in behind. So then I seen somebody and he examined me and said, yeah, it doesn't look good. It looks like appendicitis. And it took another half an hour or so or an hour to get some pain relief.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on a wheelchair this entire time.
So just to see the timelines again. So you went in there unable to stand in acute pain. It was 3 hours before anyone saw you and you were examined. And at that point, was any pain relief given to you over those 3 or 4 hours?
No.
Okay. So
no pain relief.
The doctor says, we need to admit you after they said we need to admit you because it looks like appendicitis. How long was it before you got out of that chair? But you said you were in the chair for 31 hours.
I was, because I'd seen it seemed to be all very confused, because there was two different doctors came and seen me that evening.
Yeah.
And both examined me. Like, if they had to move me out of, they didn't move me, they brought me into a different room and then put me back to where I was, you know, and at the back of the A&E. So they examined me, and they all said, like, both of them, three of them said, you know, it looks like appendicitis, but we just have to wait, whatever. And we have to get a CT scan. I was like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a CT scan until, it was about 7 or 8 o'clock that night on the Wednesday. And then I got put back to where I was, hooked up to the pain meds, mm-hmm. and the antibiotics. And I was still on the wheelchair. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, I asked the nurse, do you know, is there any sign of my bed? And she was like, there's no request for you to get a bed.
Wow.
And I was like, but I have appendicitis. Like, I'm in a lot of pain. I'm like really, really sore. And Greg, I have MS as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm living with chronic pain anyway, in my arms and my legs. So it was uncomfortable. I couldn't sleep, you know, on a chair. This was in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And then she said, oh, you're going to have to wait for a surgeon to speak to you in the morning time. So I knew it was going to be the morning time before I would see anything. And he came then at about 9:30, the surgeon, and he examined me again. And what I called the, what, and he says, no, this, he said to the nurse, she said to him that, no, this patient needs a bed now.
Right, that was 24 hours later, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was 9:30 the following morning.
The following morning. And then I didn't get a bed until 5 o'clock that evening. So I was waiting from when he seen me in the morning from about half nine to actually get a bed, like 5 o'clock.
So when did you get the operation then after that, Mary?
The next morning, the Friday morning. Okay. So I went in on the Wednesday and I got the operation on the Friday. But I didn't actually get a bed until the Thursday, about 5 o'clock.
And like other, is it, pardon my ignorance, but is it not dangerous if you've appendicitis to be sitting around for so long?
Yeah. There's what I call, it's a medical emergency, you know, it can burst, you know, 48 hours to 72 hours, you know, it can burst, which shocked me that there was no emergency about anybody. You know, like my cousin, she's a radiographer, and she had said to me, you know, if you don't feel any pain, start screaming because it's burst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you'll be in a lot of pain then. You know, like I could have been septic because of it, you know. It's crazy.
And your partner had no access to you because you'd have been brought in behind the ED. You were on your own then. Is that right?
Yeah, I was on my own. Yeah, I was all by myself.
And what was that like, 31 hours? And as you say, with the complications of MS, already having chronic pain and the risk of this, I mean, it must have been horrendous for you, Mary.
It was horrendous. It really was, Greg. Okay. It was horrible.
And not something you'd ever want to go through again?
Definitely not, no. Oh, definitely not. And like most of my care is actually in Sligo because there is no care for MS in Donegal.
Mm-hmm. That's a long run for you. Then how often do you have to make that run?
I have to make it every month.
Okay.
I have to go down for treatment once a month, and then I have to go down for appointments with my consultant, with my MS neurologist consultant as well, every now and again, every six months or so.
Wow.
You know, that so all your I have cares, been able to get my...
All your cars
well, I got my MR. It's down in Sligo, yeah. I did get an MRI up in Letterkenny in July, but that was because my MS nurse had requested it a few months beforehand to make sure that I got it when I was supposed to get it, because I'm supposed to get MRIs every 6 months to keep on top of it, to see the progression.
Okay, I get you. It's one thing after another.
But it was
another.
Just
okay.
It wasn't just me. You know, there was a lot of women, there was a lot of patients, there was a lot of men sitting waiting, and as Magella said, in the corridors, there was people coming in and... She was there.
Yeah, that phone line, Mary, that phone line unfortunately is broken down on us, but thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and I hope you're feeling better now. If you want to join in the conversation, 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts to that number, or give us a call at 074 91 25,000. Thanks to listeners Mary and Magella there. We're talking about the state of the healthcare here in Donegal, and a voice you would have heard many, many times over the years highlighting these concerns is that of Betty Holmes, who's on with us now. Betty, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
You know, this has been an ongoing battle covered on programs, this programme for a long, long time. It's I think it's really important to have the GPs and now the consultants having their say on this. Hopefully this will be the catalyst for change, Betty, because you've posed a really interesting statement. If you're from Donegal, travel or die.
Yeah, Greg, DACC are in existence over 18 years, totally voluntary, unpaid. And it's actually over 15 years since I actually turned around and I said that Letterkenny Hospital was becoming the new community hospital, the new St. Joseph's for Donegal. And over all those years, Greg, we have sat at so many meetings, Dublin, Galway, Letterkenny, and we have heard about the commitment to Letterkenny Hospital and all. We have seen nothing that would convince us that there is real commitment to Letterkenny Hospital and indeed to the healthcare needs of the people of Donegal. And before I got the phone call, I was actually thinking about the map. And Greg, that map was actually put together in February 2017. And that time we were having a meeting with Minister Harris. And we put in the 8 centres of excellence. We put in the, I think it's 8 prostate rapid access clinics and 4 breast check clinics. And they're all below the Galway Dublin line. So what does that say about Donegal? There is no commitment at regional or national level. They are taking it from us. And I mean, it's really scary. But I am very, very pleased that I suppose that I'm doing this from memory, Greg, and we're very upset about the whole issue. I think it's 78 doctors. If 78 doctors were prepared to put their name on neck on the line to raise the concerns, the healthcare needs of the people of Donegal, it's a serious one. Mm-hmm. And then to hear that the consultants at Letterkenny University Hospital have stuck their necks out, then the hospital is being taken from us. And I'm just thinking, I mean, DACC initially came together to actually get a breast surgeon and to get radiotherapy for Donegal patients. And we've fought so many battles all over the way, Greg. And now is the time that it's been taken from us. Nobody was going to convince me. Sorry, Greg. We have so many questions. I mean, we met with Minister Donnelly there in November 2022, last year. It was when he was down opening the new primary care centres. It was a quick meeting in the foyer of Letterkenny Hospital. An example is we gave all our questions at that time to him. We've heard nothing back. We're looking for meetings. We get no answers to anything. It's about keeping us all quiet and hoping we'll go away. So I really, really am pleading with all the people in Donegal, and in particular our Donegal minister and TDs and politicians. We all have to unite. It doesn't matter what political agendas are or anything else. This is about ensuring that Letterkenny University Hospital is not totally downgraded to a basic clinic or a community hospital.
But in terms of funding, Betty, in terms of funding, maybe that's already happening. It's the sixth, just to reiterate this because it's so important, the 6th busiest hospital in the country. Now, compared to the hospitals it's competing against, okay? But it's at the bottom of the table in terms of funding, just 6,920 €22 per patient, compared to Sligo, double what Donegal is getting. You know, I mean,
Greg,
that
we've
is.
Been raising that
I know you have, Betty. I just wanted to reiterate it. It's shocking.
Yeah. But Greg, DACC have been raising the whole issue of budgets to Letterkenny University Hospital and inpatient amounts and whatever over a long, many years. We have presented that at local, regional and national level repeatedly, and it hasn't been taken on board. And if you look, now we have a recruitment ban, And we have seen nothing over the years. We've always said that the good work, and if there was real commitment to Letterkenny Hospital, they should be selling the excellence that exists there at national and regional level, so people would be encouraged to come for jobs at Letterkenny. But look at the money, the huge amount of money that's been paid to National Treatment Purchase Fund that should be going to Letterkenny Hospital. And yet we have the National Treatment Purchase Fund paying big money to private hospitals to treat patients. And once you go in, you're literally, excuse my language, pissed off as soon as they do your treatment. There's no such thing as overnight or overweight care. And if there's a difficulty, where do you have to come back to? Letterkenny University Hospital. Mm-hmm. Okay. This falls at regional, local, regional and national level responsibility. Do not let them take Letterkenny University Hospital away from us. It's our hospital. It's the people's hospital. And it's been taken from us, Greg. And that DACC map says it all. There is no two ways about it. And it goes back, as you started off, you're from Donegal, do you travel or die? No railway, no motorway. No other county in Ireland has to do this. And I go back, and this
you can't even get a bus for treatment to Galway. I
mean, unique geographical circumstances relate to Donegal, and that was Minister Mary Harney, Minister for Health, in November 2007, said that.
Mm. Right. Listen, thank you very much.
I'm sorry, Greg. We're just very upset, and we've put over 18 years voluntary, unpaid work, and a lot of it nobody's even aware of. And we've had a lot of successes, but it's been taken from us.
No, I get you. Well, hopefully now that you are getting the backing, and DACC and others are getting the backing now from the GPs. And I mean, we're hearing from GPs that they're concerned for the outcomes of their patients, sending them to Letterkenny University Hospital. I mean, that is really concerning. We're hearing from consultants, and we'll speak to one in the last hour of the show today, saying that this is everything. All the events that are happening are raising the prospect of a service collapse. So you've got 11 mm-hmm. consultants within the hospital saying that the way things are going, the prospect of a service collapse, and then we're expecting people to work in that environment. Mm-hmm. And we back the doctors, we back the nurses. That's why we're doing this, okay? That's why we're trying to highlight this. It's not, I think everybody knows that they're doing as best they can in the circumstances. But Betty, listen.
They're excellent, Greg, and that should not be forgotten. Mm-hmm. And even though the difficulties that exist and what people might encounter or whatever, the staff are there, they're fully committed, they're working incredibly hard in extremely difficult situations. Mm-hmm. And that excellence has never been acknowledged.
Okay. All right, well, listen, Betty, don't let it overwhelm you. Maybe we're moving in the right direction now, because I think the voices that are out there now can't overwhelm you.
And we must all unite, and do not take this and let it go.
Right.
Thank you.
Go and get a cup of tea. Thanks, Betty. Take care of yourself. Betty Holmes there, DACC. 086 60 25,000. Keep your WhatsApps and texts coming into us. 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. You're tuned to the 9 till noon show here, with a strong emphasis on health in the first hour of the show. That will continue. I make no apologies for it. It's a very serious situation when we've got GPs and consultants saying what they're saying, and the stories that we're hearing from the general public, as I say. We have to give over the time for that. It's so, so important. Stay with us.